Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute, a ministry dedicated to proclaiming essential Christian doctrine and for providing a reasoned defense for historic Christianity with gentleness and respect. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and what a delight to have been given the opportunity to write a book that's making a difference for time and for eternity, titled Has God Spoken? Proof of the Bible's Divine Inspiration. I've developed that book in memorable fashion. I want you to know that you know that you know that this is, in fact, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. In the divine scripture, said John Owen, there are shallows and there are deeps, shallows where the lamb may wade, and deeps where the elephant may swim. The Bible is at once so simple that a child can understand it, and yet so deep that a theologian can drown in it. In other words, we can never plumb its depth. We can continue to learn and develop and grow and fall in love with the Word of God, but you have to know that you know that you know that these are the words of God. I've written the book, Has God Spoken, to demonstrate just that. It is available right now for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can order online at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or by picking up the telephone and talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. A lot of you hanging on. Let's go right to the phone lines. Julio, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Arizona. Hi, Julio.
Yes, Hank, thank you for taking my call. I have a question for you that's going to be on Revelation 4.
Uh-huh.
It's right after verse 5. It starts talking about the 24 elders. It then goes and specifies that there are seven burning torches that are the seven spirits of God. My question is this. I understand that as being different than the seven lampstands that represent the seven churches. Is this passage here, I'm just trying to understand it, does this passage here kind of give us a glimpse of the complexity of who the Lord is, who God is?
Yeah, I think you're right to distinguish this from the seven golden lampstands. And yes, this is a metaphorical reference to the sevenfold nature of the Holy Spirit. In other words, aspects of the Holy Spirit, which are delineated elsewhere in the biblical text. And this is one of the reasons why it is so critical to read Scripture in light of Scripture. If you look at Isaiah 11:2, you have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, power, knowledge, fear of the Lord. And I think this is what is being referenced with respect to the majesty of the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen. And when I read that, I mean, I just had a great sensation that, you know, we do praise a mighty God. And clearly, when I read this, it just gave me a sense of, you know, the creation, who God is. The Bible does say that we'll learn the mysteries when we get up in heaven of who God is, and I surely look forward to that. Well, thank you, Hank, for taking my question.
You got it, and thank you for your enthusiasm. One thing I've said so often is that Revelation is not a mere book of riddles originating from a shallow post-Christian mind. It's a book of symbols, and those symbols are deeply rooted in Old Testament history. We end up mistaking their meanings when we fail to hear the background music of the Old Testament. So the Tree of Life that is referred to in Jesus' letter to the church in Ephesus first appears in Genesis. Now, the 10 days of testing in Smyrna find a referent in Daniel. Think of the heavenly manna promised to the church of Pergamum. It first fell, of course, from heaven in Exodus. Or Jezebel, who promoted sexual immorality in Thyatira. Well, that's a mirror image of the idolatrous Jezebel in Kings. The seven spirits of the letter to the church in Sardis. They hark back to the spirit that we just described, and not just in Isaiah, also in Zechariah, or the key of David referenced in the letter to Philadelphia echoes the words of Isaiah, and Christ's rebuke to the church of Laodicea alludes to the words of Proverbs, "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves even as a son, the father in whom he delights." And let me say just a couple more things about this. I think it's critical because people oftentimes go off with a fertile imagination rather than fruitfully examining the biblical text and reading Scripture in light of Scripture. The letters of Christ to his persecuted bride utilize images deeply embedded in the language of the Bible. And likewise, the judgment of Christ against a prostituted bride in Revelation is written on a seven-sealed scroll. It's announced with seven trumpets. It's depicted by seven plagues. And that has a referent in the history of the Old Testament Scriptures. The pattern of sevenfold judgment against unfaithfulness on the part of Israel is spelled out in dreadful detail in Leviticus. Four times, God tells his covenant people, "I will punish you for your sins seven times over." So in like fashion, the imagery of sevenfold judgment against apostate Israel is unveiled on four occasions in Revelation. The pronouncement of judgment for unfaithfulness in the seven churches is followed, of course, by the judgments of the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls. All of this to say, reading Scripture in light of Scripture, the beauty, the fragrance, the meaning of Scripture will become apparent to you. One of the reasons now that I have produced the Apocalypse Code, not only in writing, it's now available on MP3 download as well as MP3 discs, so you can listen to it, absorb it, and learn to read the Bible for all its worth, mine it for all its wealth. The MP3 download, the MP3 discs, you can acquire them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Diane, listening on Bot Radio in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Diane.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
I'm having questions about discernment. And there's a life decision that I have to make right now. And I'm trying to ask God what is his will, what would he like for me to do. But I'm going to be honest, I'm having a trouble kind of getting a handle on it. Do you have any pointers?
Yeah, a couple of things. First of all, whatever you do, it has to be in concert with the will revealed in the Word of God. But practically speaking, God leads you through people and through circumstances. So if what you are looking at doing does not violate any biblical precedents or principles, you can move forward. If the ship is anchored, nothing's going to happen. The ship has to head out. And then God's going to open ports or close ports as he sees fit, and he will lead and guide you through his people. Remember, you're not a lone ranger Christian. You are part of a body, and so the body functions, and it helps give you guidance in the process. So people and circumstances, God will direct you through them, and again, you want to always move in concert with the will and purposes of God as revealed in Scripture. So, you know, if the point is, well, I want to become a porn star, well, you know, right at the very start, that doesn't fly with Scripture, so you know that can't be true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a graphic example of saying that there are obviously parameters, but once you have those parameters, God will lead through people and circumstances.
Okay. The other question I have is, ministers and other Christians have told me that you would know a lot of times through a peace, which I have felt, you know, because I'm a strong believer, and I have felt that peace that, you know, people have been talking about. But can also God talk to you through more of awareness?
Yeah.
And I've been looking at Luke 16, you know, the manager. And even though it has to do with God is not necessarily, congratulating the manager for, being dishonest with his master, but it's also talking about being prepared.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you bring up a really good point, because there are times where you have an intuitive sense of uneasiness about something.
And that's what I'm having right now. It's very uneasy.
Yeah, and you have to listen to that. I mean, I've always cautioned people by saying that feelings are notoriously unreliable, and therefore they should be tested, but that is not to say that those feelings or those intuitions that God gives to us are unimportant. Of course, they're not. They are important, and we need to, pay attention to these things.
Okay, Dan. So I guess what I'm hearing is, and I just want to make sure I understand, it's more of it's going to have to be a kind of like a leap of faith and just take it slow and cautiously and just pray faithfully and read my Bible and still commune with God each day, and he would direct my path.
Yeah, the only thing I would say is I would leave the word just out. When you say just a leap of faith, I would turn that around and say there's no safer place than in a leap of faith. I mean, faith ultimately is a channel of living trust between a person and their God. And if your God loved you so much to redeem you, think about how much he cares about every detail of your life. There's not a hair that falls from your head that he doesn't know about it, according to the scripture. So he cares. He's involved in the process. Keep your eyes and ears open. Make sure you get godly counsel, and God will lead you, as I said, through his body, through people, and through circumstances.
Okay, then. All right, because these things are beginning to start to take shape now. I guess I'm just feeling anxious. But that happens.
Well, bathe yourself in prayer. Bathe yourself in prayer and, go to the foot of your bed and kneel down and talk to your Maker and then just absorb yourself in the fact that here you have the opportunity not just to talk to the president, not just to talk to a world leader, not to talk to an electronic voice, but you get to talk to God.
Amen.
And
Amen.
He cares, mm-hmm. and he is not unattended to every single aspect of your life. He cares, and he's involved.
Okay, Dan. Well, thank you so much, and thank you for taking my call, and you have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you so much for giving us a call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Bill. He's listening in Missouri. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
When my oldest son was 3 years old, he told us that an angel came to him. How do you determine if that's real or not?
Well, it's very hard to deal with anecdotes, right? It's very hard to falsify an experience like that. Certainly, angels are real. Angels have appeared to people in biblical times. Certainly, I wouldn't think that would be normative, but you can't absolutely rule out the possibility that happened. But even if an angel of enlightenment appears to you, according to Scripture, you need to test what that angel is saying in light of what Scripture has said, because the revelation of an angel does not supersede the revelation that we have already been given in the Word of God.
Okay, here's the little story. Both my sons are adopted. And when we got our second son, now my first son was at 4 months old, or 6 months old and 10 months old, was switched from different families, so he had very big separation anxiety. When we got my second son, for about a month after we got him, for about a month and a half, he was just nails on a chalkboard. I mean, I really dreaded going home to him because he was just so obnoxious. He said that he saw the angel and that the angel told him that we weren't going to get rid of him.
Oh,
and
wow.
After that, he changed. I mean, he was fun to be with.
Wow.
Would that be an angelophany, or am I just imagining that?
Well, as I said, I can't rule that out, but here's the thing. What a beautiful look into his soul, recognizing that one of the reasons he was acting out as he was acting out is he was afraid that he'd be given away to someone again, and you've given him that.
I mean, he believed we would get rid of him.
Yeah. Wow.
And that's the thing. That's why I thought, I just don't know. I mean, I guess I'm not a good Christian, But, I mean, for years it's always bothered me because after that, we had the greatest day, and he did change. He wasn't that way anymore after that.
Well, let me say a couple of things. One thing, thank God for that transition. Secondly, when you say I'm not that great a Christian, the real issue becomes involving yourself in the means of growth in the Christian life that comes through prayer, that comes through disciplining yourself to get into the Word of God, get the Word of God into you. Involvement produces commitment. It means being part of a healthy, well-balanced church. It also means that you will share, not only with your kids, but with others, what God has done in your life. In the process, you will grow and you'll sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you, as yet, can continue to make a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. What an inspirational story. We'll be right back with more of your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Stay tuned for that.
Breaking the code of the book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. Hank Hanegraaff contends that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who is the Antichrist? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD or MP3 download from equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org. or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions, such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
McGrath's latest book, Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, is the third volume in a trilogy dealing with the three great apologetic issues: origins, resurrection, and the reliability of Scripture. In the first book, The Face That Demonstrates the Farce of Evolution, Hank shows that naturalistic evolution is much more than a theory about man's origins. It is a comprehensive worldview that determines how you live your life. In Resurrection, he demonstrates that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the capstone in the arch of Christianity and the hope of the believer. Without resurrection, there would be no Christianity. Now, in Has God Spoken, Hank validates the supreme authority of sacred scripture. Through memorable acronyms, he refutes modern skeptics and equips you with the assurance that God has indeed spoken. You can order this trilogy in a special package from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or order online from our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Nellie listening in Maryland. Hi, Nellie.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Are you?
I'm doing good, too. It's nice talking to you.
I have been speaking with this brother for several months, maybe even a year or two. And I'm trying to see that he knows the truth, because it seems like he doesn't. And yesterday was brought up Matthew 16. It's like 15 through 19.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says, "But who do you say that I am?"
Mm-hmm.
And then Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says that my Father who is in heaven, only he can reveal that to you. And this brother says that that rock means that Peter is the rock. I thought Jesus Christ was the rock of the church.
Yeah, and I think in this context, that point is actually made emphatically. The rock is Peter's confession in verse 16. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So you have a foundation of the church. That foundation is given to us as the disciples, the prophets, and the apostles. If Matthew was trying to say that Peter was the rock, he would have used the word Petros twice. Instead, what Matthew uses is the word Petra, which refers to Jesus, the foundation, the cornerstone, and the spiritual rock. And I think all of that collectively points to the reality that it's not Peter that is the rock, but it is his confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. That is the foundation, the rock, as it were. Let's go back to the phone lines. Next up is Randy listening on Sirius XM 131 in Colorado. Hi, Randy.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I have a question about hardening of the heart. We've been talking about it in our church for a little while, and I'm still confused on the issue. When I read in Exodus chapter 10, just before the plague of the locusts, God tells Moses that I have hardened Pharaoh's heart, so I may, you know, commit these miracles, and you'll have a testimony of my power to your children and grandchildren, basically paraphrasing, you know. And then, again, in Romans, Paul writes about that situation, and it seems to me that in that situation, God did it deliberately, and Pharaoh didn't have a choice, but, you know, that doesn't coincide with us being a creation that has free choice. So I'm looking for some clarification on that.
Yeah, I don't see fatalistic determinism in this at all. What happens every time God relents and removes the plague, Pharaoh responds in disobedience. So what becomes the occasion for the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is mercy. And mercy for those who believe is the occasion for salvation, but mercy for those who continue to rebel becomes the occasion for the hardening of heart. So when God hardens Pharaoh's heart in Exodus chapter 10, in reality it is God's mercy that is the cause of this hardening. Again, every time God shows Pharaoh mercy, every time he removes the plague, Pharaoh responds in disobedience. So why is someone like Pharaoh prepared for destruction? It's because that's what he wanted. God gave him a chance to repent, but instead he hardened his heart. And you can see the mercy of God in the number of times God relents, removes the plague, and every time Pharaoh hardens his heart. So on the one hand, you can say God hardened Pharaoh's heart. That's biblical. It's also biblical to say that Pharaoh hardened his own heart. So both sides of that coin are communicated in the scripture. But there's no place, I would say, for fatalistic determinism or for reading of fatalistic determinism into the text. I want to go back to the phone lines. Dr. Randy, WZNZ, Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Randy.
Oh, wow. Hey, how are you? This is great to talk to you.
Likewise.
I just recently discovered your show within the last week, and I've been listening every day that you're on. It's just amazing, and I want to thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you.
I do have a couple of questions. I hope you'll have time for it. One is, it was regarding the abortion issue. Now, I'm a creationist, and I am also an anti-abortionist. When I think about abortion and all of the children that, you know, die at the hands of abortion, I wonder how that relates to the Bema Seat, as far as the people who did get a chance at life, did serve the Lord throughout their lives, and they now are at the judgment seat of Christ, getting their rewards. Well, doesn't that mean that that all of these lives that didn't get the chance don't even have the opportunity to throw their crown down before the Lord and glorify Him even better? And that's kind of my opinion, but I'd like your opinion on that one. And if you wouldn't mind, I have one more quick question after that.
Yeah, well, I think you're making a good point. I mean, this is one of the horrors that attends taking prematurely a life. And that is not just the life of a preborn child, but a life in general. Now, every time a murder is committed, there is the abrogation of a life that has meaning, purpose, potential, fulfillment. And it is part of the problem that we find as a result of evil in the world. But what we know is a righteous and just God takes into consideration every converging factor, and He makes out of that which is rotten and spoiled, degenerate, something beautiful. How all this cashes out in eternity, I cannot say because I don't have the wisdom of God. What I can say is that I know that whatever God does, whether with an aborted child or someone whose life has been cut short through some other malady or evil in the world, I know that God will do what is righteous, loving, just, and merciful in that great assize. And so I leave these circumstances in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. I trust Him, in other words. Because here's one of the things that we can't always answer, and that is the why question. When Job asked the why question, God said to him, in effect, "You don't even know how to create a single drop of dew. How can you know what's going on in the heavenlies?" Which is to say that Job ultimately was taught the lesson not to find the answer, but the lesson of trust, so that he could ultimately say, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." So we know enough about the nature of God to know we can trust him, even though we don't have answers to these maladies, whether a murder or an abortion of a preborn child.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, his sovereignty and foresight is, you know, something that we just don't grasp all the time. And if you did have another moment,
yeah,
I'll make this as quick as I can.
Sure.
I'm also a soldier in the United States military.
Mm-hmm.
And a Christian. I sometimes think about, you know, when I'm going to be in the next battle, when I have to fight for my country, which is what I swore to do.
Mm-hmm.
The only verse that gives me comfort is, you know, serve. I don't have the exact verse, but it's basically God telling you to, you know, whoever you are a bondman to, whoever you are working for, you know, serve them as though you're serving me. Can I get your opinion on our service men and women who put their life on the line and also at times have to pull the trigger and kill?
Well, first of all, thank you for your service. A war in defense of justice has to be, of course, fought justly. And thus we may kill a child if we encountered a child with a bomb strapped to his back. But we may not shoot an innocent baby in the arms of its mother. So, again, war has to be fought justly because true love protects the innocent against the evil of an aggressor. And that kind of love sometimes leads to war. It leads to military action. But if you say military action is not allowed in order to maintain order among nations, then by logical inference, then police should not be permitted to maintain the order of a nation. So again, I think it's a leap of logic to allow the police to resist a murderer at the same time and not let the military resist a murderous nation. Wars are permitted by God in the same way that divorce is because of the hardness of our heart. So we live in an imperfect world, and as such, we need police. As such, we also need sometimes armies that resist evil. Thank God for the resistance to Nazi Germany and the Holocaust that they produced.
I had two grandfathers who were both in that war. I completely understand. Listen, I want to thank you for your time. I was actually inspired to find the station by a good friend of mine who is starting the Greater Ancestors World Museum here, hopefully in Jacksonville. And we're going to be paying real close attention to your show and just love you. So please keep up the good work and we'll pray for you.
Well, thank you so much. And I, again, on behalf of all Americans, we can be so grateful for our military, for the fact that they are putting their lives on the line so that we can do what we do. If it were not for the military, perhaps I wouldn't be on the radio able to do what I'm doing right now. So I thank God for your service, and I thank you ultimately for your Christian commitment, because in the end, how do you change things? Well, we live in an imperfect world. We need police. We need armies. But ultimately, when the heart is changed, behavior is changed as well. And think what can happen.
Sometimes the shepherd has to fight off the wolves.
Exactly, exactly, yeah. So again, thank you so much for your service and for your contribution to the broadcast today.
Thank you so much, too. Take care.
Bless you. So many resources we offer through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But I want to underscore once again, the Christian Research Journal, an award-winning magazine, you can order it today. You can subscribe today via the mail, on the web. When you pick up the phone and call, here's the contact information. The web, equip.org. The mail, post office box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And resource consultants always standing by, 888-7000 CRI. And by the way, if you don't have the apocalypse code on MP3 disc or download, you can check that out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Also, stay connected with the Christian Research Institute with our e-newsletter. Go to the front page of the web, click on the Sign Up Today button, and receive our free wristband with our moniker, Because Truth Matters, and our web address as well. Be right back with more of your questions.
You're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but did you know that you can connect with us 24/7 with Web 2.0 technologies? The Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast invite you to join us in community and dialogue on the internet. You can find us at YouTube, follow us on Twitter, or become a Facebook fan and explore all that we have to offer by going to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or as always, you can contact us by phone at 888-7000-CRI. The Bible Answer Man returns after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be right back. Now more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the current issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Hank Hanegraaff's cover article reveals the key to unlocking messianic prophecy. A common objection to Christianity is that the New Testament takes Old Testament prophecies out of context in applying them to Jesus Christ. The answer lies squarely in understanding the role of typological prophecy in the Bible. Douglas Grotheis's summary critique of Rob Bell's controversial book Love Wins exposes the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Other topics include a review of Todd Burpo's book, Heaven is for Real, What is the Unpardonable Sin?, the insightful Ask Hank column, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI, or go online to equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
And author Rob Bell is a phenomenon hard to avoid. His best-selling books and his popular Pneuma video series have made him an attractive figure for many Christians during the past 6 or 7 years. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Douglas Grotheis addresses Bell's controversial book Love Wins in a relentless summary critique entitled Love Wins, Making a Contradictory Case for Universalism. Grotheis shows the inconsistencies of Bell's ideas and his misinterpretation of Scripture in a way that is direct yet winsome. Gain a better grasp of historic Christian orthodoxy concerning the afterlife when you start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Fred, listening on Sirius XM 131 in Orlando, Florida. Hi, Fred.
Hey, Hank. How you doing today?
Good, thank you.
Good. First, I'd like to thank God for your show and your courage and the show that it's on the air, that we have something like this to administer God's redemptive plan, as well as tend to the faith of the body of Christ. Myself, I'm an older man. I drive around this Jesus mobile. It's got Jesus all over it and scripture and stuff. But when your show comes on, I do appreciate it, because I know, it's good exercise, and I like to be exercising in spiritual endeavors when I drive. You know, never know when someone's going to come up and take a picture or whatever. But my I don't work a computer, and my job never allowed me to, and so I have to rely on hard copy to get information. And you know, there's so much that we read these days, and it seems like there's been such an explosion of knowledge in this country in this electronic age, and one reason why I appreciate your show, I mean, it helps us have a hard stand not only for what Christ is doing today, but what he did in the beginning with Adam and Eve, and so as well as authenticate the scripture. The question I have for you is the Pentateuch. I've read that it was the Hebrew edition of that was completed sometime around 540 BCE, during the Persian Empire between 333 BCE. I was wondering, is there any hard copy of those, or is this purely something that people have picked up, colophonic, or just picked up through the context?
Well, no, I think what we have to do is just look at the historical information. The historical information places the Exodus at a particular time, so you can get a very clear parameter on when the Pentateuch was written. It was written by Moses, and we know that, for example, the practice of using forced labor for building projects is only documented for a period 1450 to 1200, the very time that most biblical historians place the Israelites in Egypt. Liberals are casting aspersions on the Exodus, but it is as unlikely that the Jews invented the Exodus as it is that they invented the Holocaust. So the Pentateuch was written by Moses, and therefore we can put the writing of the Pentateuch within fairly narrow time parameters. I would also say this. In my book, the book that I've been promoting on the Bible Answer Man broadcast is my newest book, Has God Spoken? Proof for the Bible's Divine Inspiration. I provide all the details and documentation that has now been uncovered through archaeology. So what was once concealed in the soil corresponds to what is revealed in the Scripture. And therefore, we do not have to fall for what so many liberals today are calling religious conceits, which is we want to believe something because we want to believe it. No, we believe it because there's history and evidence on our side. Not only the manuscript evidence, archaeological evidence, prophetic stars in the constellation of biblical prophecy. So we have the evidence to counter the contentions. We don't have to go with dogmatic assertions. We can live in the realm of defensible arguments. And as Christians, that's precisely what we're called to do. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. Again, I've written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? So if you've ever struggled with the haunting question, is the Bible truly the Word of God? Has God really spoken? Well, you're not alone. And that's why I wrote Has God Spoken? And provided powerful demonstration that God has indeed spoken, and that the Bible is trustworthy, true, and transformational. We can know Moses did write the Pentateuch. That's not, again, a contention that floats in thin air. It's grounded like a rock of Gibraltar. Has God Spoken is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute for your gift all this month. Also, for those who give $100 or more to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken. Or when you join the monthly support team, I'll send you a personalized copy of Has God Spoken. Again, check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Resource consultant standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Next up, Doug, listening in Texas. Hi, Doug.
Hey, Lisa. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
This has to do, I suppose, with Matthew 18:15. If someone has done you wrong, and particularly if it's cost you a significant amount of resources, and you go to this person, or number one, do you go to this person if they haven't come to you? And do you follow what Matthew says here? If you go to them and they don't respond, then you go back with other people. And how do you choose those people? And is there a point at which you take this to a civil situation?
Yeah, you can, because the very passage tells us that there comes a point if someone is not going to respond through a personal encounter, or even when they are brought into the context of the church, they're still going to be disobedience. Then you can rightly treat them as though they are pagans, because they're manifesting the fact that they do not care about the provisions given to us by God, but they want to act in a secular fashion. Remember that jurisprudence in the West is not something that just came out of thin air. It comes out of a biblical worldview. The legacy of the Bible is the ethos, the mores, the civil liberties, the art, the language, the science, and jurisprudence that we have in Western civilization. That's why I say so often that we used to live in the pages of the Bible, but now we live in the shadow of the Bible. We've forgotten that. But yes, if jurisprudence is built on a biblical worldview in the West, yes, we can appropriately use, in certain circumstances when there's no other recourse left to us, we can use the courts to address grievous sin and those that are violating the commands of God and do not want to be reconciled in a biblical sense.
Okay, how about if this is a very delicate situation, and if it's a case of adultery, and the offending party's family is not aware of this, and to open this up is going to create a lot of chaos in his family and possibly in his church and things like this. I'm not seeking. I know the Bible says, you know, God says, "Vengeance is mine," saith the Lord. But on the flip side of that, or on the other side of it, you know, there's a lot of financial damage has been done to me because of this. And how do you go about rectifying the situation?
Well, I think you bring up some good points. I mean, ultimately, what you want to do is try to effect reconciliation, and you want to count the cost before you get involved in legal action. And you also recognize the words, at least parenthetically, of Romans chapter 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So there is a place and a priority, I would say, in the Christian life for seeking reconciliation at all cost. But there's also a place where legal action would be mandated, because there has to be restitution for a horrendous evil that has taken place. Now, I can't take an anecdote or a situation that I hear about on the air and parse that. I don't have the ability to do that. But I can say, in principle, there are times in which legal recourse would be completely appropriate. But to go into that, you still need the wisdom of godly counselors, not an electronic voice, but godly counselors, and therefore I would take this to the church in a delicate, private, and restrained fashion, get good wisdom and counsel before proceeding in this matter.
So this is a situation then where I should go to, say, my pastor as well as this gentleman's pastor as well?
Well, I think so. I mean, I would start with your pastor. If you have a healthy, well-balanced church and a godly pastor, that's where I would start the process.
Okay. All right, sir. Well, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call, and I am so appreciative of the platform God has given me through the Christian Research Institute. So many questions come in every single day dealt with by our research department. Over the years, we have been able to garner so much wealth and wisdom that we now make available on the World Wide Web at equip.org. But that didn't happen by accident. It happened intentionally because God's people were willing to stand with the ministry because they love the truth. And so I'm deeply grateful for my partners in ministry. We have a staff within the walls of the Christian Research Institute, but we have, as it were, a team outside these walls as well. And that team is absolutely crucial for us to continue. During the summer, it's always difficult. And so we want to make an appeal to you. If this ministry has really impacted your life and you recognize that it is impacting the lives of others, invest in this ministry. I'm not asking you to give to us, but through us, so that you can touch lives not just for time, but certainly for eternity as well. And for your gift to the ministry, we have so many resources right now. The predominant resource that we want to put into your hands is the book, Has God Spoken? I developed this in a memorable format. Every section has memorable snapshots, so you can get the whole gist at a glance, so that you can internalize the information so that you might use the information. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. Only one life, soon 'twill be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. To answer a question is not an end in itself. Remember that. It's a springboard. It's an opportunity to share the goodness and the grace of God, the redemption that is only possible through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've made that redemption possible by standing with the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. If you haven't done so yet, please do so prayerfully and financially. You can give via the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000-CRI. And again, for your gift, I'll send you the book, Has God Spoken? Thanks for tuning in today. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in your walk with God, just go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-274, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because truth matters. Spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. With the vast amount of information flooding the internet, how can you determine what's true? How can you be certain that what you're viewing is reliable? Well, equip.org is a safe haven with content you can trust. Content that has been well researched and designed to deepen your discernment skills and help equip you to defend the faith. At equip.org, you can search articles, books, and videos, listen to the Bible Answer Man right from your computer, or listen to an Ask Hank program where Hank takes just a few minutes to answer important questions about the Bible and Christianity. You can also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, read our blog, or receive special benefits by signing up for our weekly e-newsletter.
Don't founder in the sea of misinformation. Make equip.org your homepage today. Again, the address is equip.org.